Somebody say, I'm coming out of debt. I am coming out of debt. I am determined to come out of debt. I am determined to be debt free. I am debt free. In Jesus' name. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 21, the wicked borrow and pay not again. You're already in debt, but you have no desire to pay back. The Bible says you are wicked. But the righteous shows mercy and they give, they pay back. It's important to God that all of his children are debt free. Debt may knock you down. I've come to tell you, you are not out. And you are going to rise again. Somebody who believes it, say good amen. Amen. John Maxwell said something interesting that you and I know so well. He says, everything in our society is geared to make you unhappy with your current circumstances. Your job, your wardrobe, your car, your house, probably your wife, the place you live, whatever it might be. Everything in advertising world is designed to breed discontent. To make you unhappy with what you have. The reason why we want to buy more things is because we are unhappy with what we have. And it's the world system that has made us to be so. The world has turned us to become greedy grabbers. When you see double G, not Gucci, greedy grabbers. Hallelujah. Then we begin to make decisions. Decisions we think we can control the consequences of. Decisions you make and the decisions you have made creates and has created the circumstances of your life right now. It is the decisions you have made that created the circumstance you are facing or enjoying right now. Decisions you make positions you for changes in life. Until you decide and act, nothing changes in your life. You might hear and hear and hear, and the word stimulate and stimulate. Any word you hear, any instruction you receive that is not backed with action will not produce nothing. Decisions you make will determine the new chapters you will open. The new chapters you will enter. Decisions you make will determine the new chapters you close and you exit in your life. The word of God by the Spirit of God. Every day we hear it. Is to help you and I make life-changing decisions. When you come to church, you come to church to receive instructions. Instructions that help you make decisions, that help you move in the right direction. But you have to act. There's no doubt that God wants us to be debt-free. I see a glorious debt-free future for you. But that future is demanding of you. What your present day, this time, does not require. You want me to explain that? My future is calling and saying, don't spend that money on that shoe. Put it aside. You will meet me later. When you come to me, you will need it. But if you use it for the shoe might not reach me. Hello, somebody. Your future is calling you to keep what your present wants to take. But then, nobody can just be debt free. The spirit of debt freedom does not just jump on you. You have to earn it. You must be ready for it. You must have a game plan. You earn it. You didn't get there suddenly. Amen? If you don't confront your circumstance, you are not likely going to change it. If you don't confront what is wrong in your life, you see, for some people, debt is a habit. They have always been borrowing. They grew up in borrowing. So all they know is to borrow. And when their son or daughter come home from school and say, who wants that shoe? Oh, I borrowed it from my friend. Okay, it's all right. Don't let your children borrow anything from anybody. Praise the Lord. Oh, who wants that toy? Oh, I borrowed it from my friend. No, never you borrow anything from anybody. Because you want to take that spirit out of them. Praise the Lord. So you need to confront your situations in difficult times when it's most difficult. So what I'm trying to say is those credit card bills need to be confronted. Don't shuffle. Everything needs to be confronted. Put them down. No. I told us a few weeks back, it's important you know what you own, know what you owe, know what you earn, and know where it goes. Praise the Lord. If you are going to be debt free, you have to become very, very serious about it. Prosperity cannot come when you are always in debt. If you want to be debt free, every financial decision becomes very important. Did you hear me? You have to consider, do I buy this burger or not? Some of us have credit cards of $500 that we have been paying for the last 3 years. I'm not saying raise up your hand. Praise the Lord. Just know yourself. Scrutinize your financial decisions. Look at the benefits. Look at the immediate benefit. Look at the intermediate benefit. Look at the long-term benefit. Let me quickly tell you, your tithe, your offerings, your first fruits, they have long-term benefits. There's no compromise to them. Let me tell you this ahead. If I've not said it before, I want to say it again. If you are always in debt, you are prone to cheating. If the opportunity to cheat opens up, you will cheat. I'm mostly thinking I'm going to cheat God. I'm not going to pay that tithe. somebody a mother, grandmother somewhere in Omaha, Nebraska sent me some money just this last week to say, Pastor, I just want to bless you with this. You've been a blessing in my life and so on and so forth. So when I got it, I said to my wife, I said, ah, look at this. Look at how God has recompensed me. It's not that the money will change my life. Praise the Lord. But I really, really appreciated it. Especially from the person it's coming from. It's like the widow putting her mite in the offering bowl. You know. So this morning as we were writing our offering, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I forgot to write the tithe of that seed. Immediately I added because it wasn't God's problem that I forgot it. It was my problem. So I increased the percentage to meet up with scriptures. Proverbs 27, 23 to 24 says, be thou diligent. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks. Know what you own, know what you owe, know what you earn, know where they go. Know the state of your flocks and look well. Oversee them well, well. That $1 is important. Everybody needs a coin jar at home. Amen? Don't let inside of your chair, your sofa, be your bank for your coins. One day you might not need that sofa. And somebody will carry all your coins away. I watch a skit of a young man who refused to give his daughter medical bills. He now put the money in the mattress. The daughter was lying down. The wife begged him, give us money. He went out and drank and carried girlfriend. By the time he got home, the wife sold the mattress. Without knowing, there was a whole lot of money in it. When the guy got home, his wife was sleeping on the mat. The daughter was at the hospital. When the wife, he said, where is the mattress? The wife said, I sold it. We didn't have money to pay our daughter's medical bill. He took up the mat, looking for the mattress. Under wrong decision. Amen. The scripture now says, for riches are not forever. If we don't know how to take care of them, the goal is not forever. Amen. Verse 24. It says, for riches are not forever. And the crown does not endure from generation to generation. You can ask Solomon, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. In any issue of life, but we are concentrating on the issue of debt, be honest with yourself. Don't let what you owe end up going for collection. Because collection, before you know it, they will hit your credit history. Some, after you pay it, will not take it out. Some may take it out. And some may take it out. It will still have a trace there. It will not fall off until 3 years later. And some might take it out, and then you won't see any trace. But don't let it come to that. Yeah, and amen. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God about everything you do. I like this next scripture. Proverbs 13:18. He says, poverty and shame shall be to him who refuses instruction. When we are telling you, don't handle, God is interested in how I handle my money. Don't handle your money like that. Don't do like that. Some people will not make heaven because of the way they spend their money. Because they never give to the poor. They never fed the hungry. They never clothed the naked. They never give to the needy or quench the thirst of any. He says, but he that regarded reproof shall be honored. When you make a decision to become aggressive against your debt, generations coming after you, they are going to be free. They are going to be free from that spirit. Praise the Lord. And if instructions are going to work in your life, then you have to work it. You have to work the instructions. Don't just receive instruction. I know what to do, but you don't know what you know you ought to do. I know what to do, but you did not do what you know you ought to do. It's not going to yield. We read Haggai 6. 1 verse 6 and 7 this morning. It talks about struggling, working, doing everything. But at the end of it is big holes. Avoiding to tithe because of your debt increases the hole. Avoiding to tithe and bring back to God. I'm showing you how you are going to get out of debt. You see, the constitution we live by and the constitution the world lives by, they are not the same. They are not the same. You know? If you don't begin first, you know, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He said also, I will rebuke the devourer. A devourer in you is a deceiver in you. Praise the Lord. Because deception most times make you owe. I can pay back. Let me give you a scenario. You are paying a bill of $14.99 every month. And then another situation came and said, oh, it's nothing. It's just $5.99. You know what? You forget $14.99 that you already have. Then you had $5.99, right? That's become how much? $21.98. All right. And then another one will show up and say, oh, this one, buy it. Especially when you are flicking through channels, you now see all these shopping channels or flicking through internet. And they say, buy now and just pay $7.99 for 12 weeks. Then you say, oh, is it $7.99? I can afford $7.99. But you have forgotten you are owing $21.98. Then you add $7.99. Then your mortgage is there. Your rent is there. Maybe you have a car note. Responsibilities to your children. You know what I'm trying to say is that little by little by little by little by little, it just piles up. Is somebody getting me? It just piles up. Because you think what you heard is the amount you think you can afford. But you did not know you can't afford it because you already had others. Then you are tricked. Your brain is tricked. I've said this before. Let me remind you. When you go to the mall, how does the mall smell? How does the mall smell like? Especially if it's an enclosed mall or you go into a store. How does this place smell like? Smells nice. It mesmerizes your brain. They are doing it deliberately. They spray stuff in the atmosphere that stimulates your brain to spend. That is what it is. And some of us don't know how to negotiate. When I began to talk about this coming out of debt, I decided to scrutinize our finances all over again with a fine-tooth comb, saying to my wife, there are some things we can still cut. Because if that money goes towards our mortgage, it will keep on reducing. See, this DirecTV, we're paying too much. We have 220, I'm telling you the truth here. We have 220 channels. I don't watch 220 channels. Amen? I only watch three channels out of the 220. If it's not sport, then it's CNN. Praise the Lord. Oh, Pastor, you don't watch Christian channel? No. And I have my reasons, but I'm not going to tell you that today. Praise God. I have my Bible. So I called DirecTV. Now, Google Fiber is in my neighborhood. They have been pestering me. Call us to fix an appointment or we cancel your account. Is it a problem? Cancel it. So I said, okay, since Google Fiber is oppressing me or trying to offend me by pestering me, I called DirecTV. I said, guys, I want to cancel. They said, okay, we'll pass you to cancellation department. I said, okay. Cancellation department, okay, I can help you, but let me ask you, why do you want to cancel? I said, because I can't afford it anymore. We were paying about 90-something dollars, almost 100. Yeah, I understand that. Many people are like that. I mean, when you're on a fixed income, I say, you got it right. You know. He said, but if I can help you, what's the lowest you can go? Power in my hand. I said, I cannot afford more than $40. He said, okay, let me see what I can do. To cut a long story short, we negotiated back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. We ended up at $50.98. Shouldn't you clap for me? So I reduced that bill. The channels did not reduce. But I reduced that bill 50%. Amen? I had to scrutinize it. You see, when the Bible says, I'll pour you out a blessing, it's talking about ideas. Ideas. Ideas that can move you forward. Ideas that can help you cut down on the excesses. The only thing my wife was like, when I told her, I said, do we still have Judge Judy? I say, yes, that one is local. You know, there's no problem with that. I don't like Judge Judy. I think she's partial. Most of her judgments don't work for me. Praise the Lord. In the book of Haggai, he says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Let me tell you something here, church. If you are not a tither, freedom from debt is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. Because even if you pay off all that you are owing, guess who you are still owing? And the one you shouldn't owe at all. Praise the Lord. I can do without TV, right? I can do without some other stuff. I can't do without God's blessings. I can't do without heaven. Praise the Lord. So I have to put my priorities in the right places. Praise God. Obedience is the beginning of freedom from debt. Obedience. No tithe, big goals. Tell your neighbor. Come on, be bold. No tithe, big goals. It gets wider and wider. Nobody's smarter than God. And one of the major ways, let me give you in plain language, of getting out of debt is to get on God's money system. Not the world money system. The world wants us to owe. Let's get into the brass tacks. I've said it before. I'm going to repeat it again. Stop buying things to show off. Stop buying things because you want to show off. Stop buying things because you want people to notice you and say, you too, you have arrived. But you are still far from there. When you buy things to show off, you will be ignoring necessities of your life and you are pursuing luxury. Nobody can measure God's blessings in their lives if they keep on buying things on credit. You can't measure God's blessings because the devourer keeps taking it back. Because what you borrow is not what you are paying back. You are paying back much more than you borrow. I said the operation of our finances is very, very important to Jehovah God. So number one thing I want to tell you today, we've done it before here. I'm going to tell you again. Your credit cards, your store cards, let's start from there. Take your credit cards. Is it that you take a scissors and cut them into two or three places or four places and put them in the trash? All of them. Maybe you can have one for emergency, but my suggestion would be save your emergency funds. Don't put it on a credit card. Don't let it be on a credit card because credit card money is not your money. It's not your money. It's somebody else's money. I've told us before, don't use credit card to buy food. It means, like those who come from Nigeria, the woman selling rice and beans in front of your house, you send your little brother and say, go and give Mama Toyin the plate. Tell her to put it on my account. You are buying food on credit. Can you imagine? Buying food on credit. Start Toyin, not you. Don't worry. I mean, the other day I stood and I was thinking, I said, the government is wicked, especially in Missouri. How can we be paying tax on food? Huh? It's not right to be paying tax on food. But maybe they just see that, well, you people like food. Amen. So we better collect tax anyway. But it's not right. In New Jersey, there's no tax on clothing. You go shopping, there's no tax. And food, there's no tax. And I don't know why they can't do it. In New York now, every college in New York is free. Did you hear? Shouldn't we be praying for Missouri government? Eric Greitens, we should be praying for him, the governor of Missouri, and say, Holy Spirit, come upon him. Though that college can be free. Isn't that beautiful? Huh? And the proviso is just that after you graduate, you have to stay in New York and work for a few years to develop the city. And then you can go anywhere you like. Who wouldn't take that? And I know Nigerians, your son now lives in New York because your cousin lives in New York anyway. So your address is New York. Praise God. Did I just give you an idea? Oh my God. So if you don't cut your credit card, get a bucket, a small bowl. Put all your cards there. Pour water on it. Make sure it's a considerable size bowl. You know, like all those small rubber buckets, plastic buckets, with a lid on it. Put your card inside, pour water, and put it at the back of your freezer. Then it will freeze up. You have frozen the card. You have frozen your spending. Amen? So, the day desire to spend comes, you know, temptation is there. You just go to the freezer. But before you break the ice, or the ice melts, your desire can melt away. Praise the Lord. We've done it before. How many of us remember that? Right? You can do that. And then, say for example, you have 5 credit cards of different amounts and balances. After you do your T account, I'm going to do that next week. Definitely. I have to show you the T account. My earnings, my income, my outgoing, tithe, offering, those are the first things there. You understand me? First things first. Mortgage, everything, and then you bring it, and then amount, then you look at what is left that I can put towards my debt. You have to be deliberate. Maybe what I have left is $200 towards my debt. Remember, the wicked borrow. They don't want to pay back because they will have an excuse. But I want to pay back, but it's just that I can't pay back everything at the same time. But I have a game plan. So that $200 that I have, that I want to put towards my 5 credit cards, the smartest thing to do is this. Pick the one with the lowest balance. Lay them out. This one has 1500 balance, 900 balance, 750 balance. That is what you are owing. 340, and this one is only 180. You have 200, right? Put 100 on the one with 180 and distribute the remaining 100. Try the one with the highest balance will probably have the highest minimum that you can pay. Then pay the minimum. Pay minimum here, pay minimum here, pay minimum here, pay minimum here, and put more on the lowest one. Next month, you pay the lowest one off, hypothetically speaking. Am I communicating? And that one is gone. You still have your $200. Then you take the lowest one again. Attack the lowest one more than you do. The rest, just pay minimum. As long as you are paying minimum, though you are just paying the interest, you are good with the bank. You are not defaulting. And then it will come to the one, as if you follow that system, then it will come to the one with the biggest one. So you now know, I'm going to be putting 200, 200, 200. Within a few months, you pay them off. And then you now make a decision. If I don't have the cash, I'm not going to do the crime. Hello? If I don't have the money, I'm not buying it. So you can have one credit card. So you know that if I use this credit card for this amount, I already have the cash to put back inside. Because you are still using the credit card to build up your credit. Am I making sense, church? Praise the Lord. Now, you have two car notes. How do I approach my two car notes? And I want to pay them off. The same applies. Pick one car. Pay what you normally pay on the note on one car and add a little bit on the other car. Keep adding a little bit on one car until you pay off one car. Because you will pay that one off quickly. Then this other one. Then you can pile it up. The sweetest thing about owning your car debt-free is that whatever equity is on it is yours. Hello? It's yours. So if you say, oh, let me take this car to CarMax and it's still in good condition. And CarMax says, well, it's in good condition for the year of this kind of a car. Okay, we'll give you $16,000. You know that $16,000 is not going to any car credit company. That $16,000 is yours. Now you can take the $16,000 and go and take $8,000 and buy a fairly used car. Cash down. You still have $8,000. Go and put your $8,000, if you don't know what to do yet, go and put it in an interest-yielding savings account. And let it be breathing, and you to be drinking water on top. Until an opportunity comes where you can invest your $8,000. Ah, somebody's saying, but pastor, you have your car is like brand new. Let me tell you something. I'm a representative of this church, right? Huh? When Daddy Gio came here, we were either going to go and rent a Rolls Royce or rent a Cadillac somewhere. Until somebody said, whose car is that? They say it's the pastor's car. Then I was driving that red Lexus. I said, this is perfect. I said, Lord, my car is good for Gio. Fantastic. But if I had a jalopy, and mind you, the church didn't pay me for using my car. Hey, come on, somebody. That money that we wanted to go and use to rent a luxury car, maybe they should have given it to me. I rented my car out. You know. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nice car. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You should have a nice car. You have a reliable car. You should have a car. My own kind of car, for example, when it's still reading 350,000 miles, it's still brand new. Because it's a car that can do 1,000,000 miles as long as you service it. Amen? Why do I like Lexus? I used to drive Mercedes-Benz. Because I found out it's expensive to maintain it, but it doesn't spoil. Do you understand me? It doesn't just stop along the road. You drive a Lexus too. Lexus doesn't spoil. And when you drive it, you are driving a dream. Praise God. Am I giving you right word here? Praise the Lord. And we are looking at opportunity cost. Did you get me? Opportunity cost. Then you pay off those notes. Then your mortgage. Yes, accountants say, don't be in a hurry to pay off all your house mortgage. Because of taxes. But the equity on your home is not yielding interest for you. Huh? What if when you pay it off, say your house is $320,000. Two ways you can quickly pay off your mortgage. You pay every 2 weeks instead of once a month. The same amount. So if your mortgage is $1,400, the first 2 weeks you pay $700. The following 2 weeks you pay $700. For the term of that mortgage, you're already taking away 7 years because you are cutting the interest every 2 weeks. And now you have extra $200. You now pay instead of $700, you pay $800 and $800. You are taking off like another extra 5 years of a 30-year mortgage. And then the first of every year, you have, it's better the first of every year, but you can do it also when you get your tax refund. The first of every year, with $1,000, you put it towards your house. You knock out 3 years straight away. Almost straight away. Or you can do it in April, you can do it in May, you can do it anytime you have that, before you enter the second half of the year. Not that when you do it in the second half of the year, you won't get something back, but it won't be as considerable as it is in the first month. Am I helping somebody? Am I helping somebody? And then you eventually celebrate paying off your mortgage. You call us for a party. We burn the document. Glory! Because the day we pay off the mortgage of this church, be ready for a very wild party. And I'm telling you, then we can plan for something bigger and something better. Amen? So now I have paid off my mortgage and I have $320,000. I'm sleeping inside $320,000. But mind you are still paying your taxes. You're still paying your insurance. The money is still leaving your hand. Now, should I not go to God in prayer? Lord, what can I do with $250,000 investment? What kind of investment? Now you have the substance. Hello? Do you understand? Now you have the money to go mega. But make sure you are careful. Don't go to money doublers. No, don't go to people who is sweeten their tongue to deceive you. You know, you investigate, you scrutinize that this is a good investment. This is a long-term investment. I was reading something Warren Buffett said. And anybody can go and check it up. He said, passive investment is your best bet. Like, for example, those of us who understand trading. Intensive, aggressive trading, you will lose your money. The possibility of losing it is 80 to 20. But if it's passive investment, so I was wondering, okay, what's passive investment? Then he said, index funds. Your 401k is invested in index funds. Your mutual funds, they are invested in index funds. The money may not come in big, but slowly and steady and surely. My last point today. You are hoeing terribly. Think of downsizing. First and foremost, look at where you live. Can you downsize? And it's no crime, it's no shame to downsize. You have a 5-bedroom house and it's only 3 of you. All the children have gone. and you are still paying that heavy mortgage, and you are owing so much, is it not time to downsize? Come on. It's time to downsize. Get something smaller. I'm already thinking in my head when our two youngest ones will go away to college. When my wife and I will just be in a two-bedroom house. So when they come, they are visiting. Yeah, and amen. Yeah. They have sucked us for 18 years. And now they are in college, they still want to keep on sucking. Huh? Well, it's because the sacrifices I've made for them, we've made. Yes, we. When I tell my wife and said, oh, do you remember when we had, she said, how many of us? When we had Toby, how many of us had him? At least I was a willing participant. I was there. It's good for every man to be there when their wife is giving birth. Very, very important. You may be traumatized, but it's okay. Praise God. You know, I would love to go to Dubai. I want to see Dubai. I want to see the Great Wall of China. But even if we can afford it now, where are we going to put them? And yet we don't want to go with them. Oh, my wife and I, we need vacation. Keep dreaming. If they don't grow up and go away, your vacation is not a reality. Because if it's, oh, let them go and stay with Sister Esther, or Sister this and that. Every minute you want to, how are they? I hope they are not disturbing you. I don't want that. That's no more vacation. That's depression. You spend money for depression. You know? So I'm believe me, I'm patiently biding my time. That I'll wake up one day and say, oh, wow, honey. Oh, wow. This is good. Let's roll in the hay anyhow we want. Nobody's going to barge in on our door. You can wake up and stroll in your house anyhow. Can't do that now. So many things I'd like to do, I can't do them. Because some people are holding me ransom. So we downsize, and then we still have some more for fun. Every child of God needs to have fun. It's good to take a vacation once in a while. Go and put your feet in the sand. Look at the ocean. Sit down, watch sunrise. Sit down again with one grilled fish like Jesus on the Sea of Tiberias. And watch the sunset. Make memories. But if you are not debt free, you can't make those memories. Debt holds you bound. I think enough. Next week I'll talk about something else that will help us. Let's bow our heads. Ask the Lord to give you the ability. You've heard so much. You've received the truth. Some of us have made decisions while I've been speaking. Follow through with that decision and see your life take a new turn. Ask God for that grace. Make plan to start saving for your emergency funds. In case something happens, before I rally back myself, something is available to fall on. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for grace. You see, this kind of word, I believe in supernatural debt payment. Maybe I'll talk about that sometime. But this one is about action. Taking action. If you need help, we are available to give you the help and point you in the right direction. And then you begin to see that result. May the Lord bless His word. If you have been blessed, give the Lord praise this morning.